It's all snowy outside. If you've walked here this morning, if you're elderly or infirm, then please don't try and get home if it looks bad. We'll get you home. Sam's got a 4x4. So don't struggle through the... No, seriously, don't. We don't want anyone falling over this morning. So if it's bad when we go out, please wait and we'll sort you out. I was reading the beds on Sunday, as I do occasionally. And, well, just to see what I've said, which is sometimes amazing to me. But there's a letter in the beds on Sunday today. It's entitled Lacking Festive Spirit. And it says this: Sir, I don't know about you, but I'm just not feeling Christmassy at all this year. Perhaps the snow will change all this, you know. Might make it worse. It may be because I've had to cut down significantly on my spending, as probably a lot of people have, or just because I'm tired of all the commercialism of the festive season. I've been walking around the shops over the last few weeks, gathering presents for my loved ones, and I even began listening to all the classic seasonal songs the other night, but neither of these have got me in the mood for Christmas. So if anyone has any suggestions of how to spend the festive cheer, I would be most grateful. Well, there you are. Well, Rita Moore of London Road, Bedford. You're not alone. Yeah, I remember I was singing that Christmas song this week. It's I'm beginning to feel a lot like Christmas, do you know? And I thought, I'm not really. And I went into Tesco's and I saw all of the staff dressed up as cartoon Disney characters. And it still didn't feel terribly like Christmas. So I drove past Swindale with all the lights on and Dove Road. If you haven't been to Dove Road or Swindale and seen the Christmas lights, then you ought to go of an evening. It still didn't really make me feel very much like Christmas. And I asked a group of church folks last night whether they felt like Christmas. They said, no, they didn't feel it was very Christmassy this year. And I was kind of reflecting on why this word un-Christmassy had suddenly come along. And I suppose it is all about the mood, isn't it, in the country at the moment. The financial implosion. And I think it was Michael Portillo who was on the television yesterday, and he says that now it's not such a case of if the maelstrom comes, it's when. It's when. And I suppose that just makes us all feel, you know, a bit foreboding for the future. And here we are, the baby Jesus is about to be born, and we're fearful and lacking in as much joy as we should have at this wonderful time of year. And then I reflected upon how Mary must have felt. And I suspect that Mary and Joseph, when they looked to the future, must have felt fear and foreboding as well. When you think of all that they faced in terms of their financial crisis going forward, Mary couldn't have been older than 14 and could have been a couple of years less than 14. As a young child facing such a huge upheaval, it must have been really quite dreadful looking to the future. And, you know, and all the experiences that they went through with no room at the inn, you know, to get into a place, for goodness sake. You know, a young girl pregnant with a baby about to be born, no room. What kind of people say no room? It's a cruel world, isn't it? And then the whole business about babies being killed and having to seek asylum in Egypt. It's a dreadful, dreadful state of affairs. And then the angel comes to Mary, and we remember this morning, and makes promises. And I looked through the words that the angel says in Luke's gospel, and I've divided them into three little statements. And the first is greetings. Greetings to Mary. You are highly favoured. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And then the second statement, do not be afraid, Mary. You found favour with God. Do not be afraid. Then the third statement, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Nothing is impossible with God. And I guess those three statements would have sustained Mary through the un-Christmassy events that were about to come. The fact that God favoured her and was with her. The fact that God promised that she need not be afraid. And the fact that God promised that the Holy Spirit would be with her. And that nothing would be impossible. These are transforming words. And they allow Mary to have some confidence that no matter what comes along in the future, that God will be with her and enable her to get through. Now, what would you do if a messenger from God said those things to you, that you were highly favoured, that the Lord is with you, that you'd found favour in God's eyes, that the Holy Spirit would be with you to give you the power that you needed to get through the difficulties that lay ahead? Well, the point of the reading today isn't just what God said to Mary then, but what God says to us now. And these words which are spoken to Mary are spoken afresh to us in each generation. And the point about Christmas is that it's good news, not just for Mary, but it's good news for each one of us. Jesus is God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. God is with us. God is with us because we've found favour with God. God loves us. We need not be afraid. And the Holy Spirit will give us the power that we need to get through. Nothing is impossible with God. That's the message of Christmas. And we've got to hear it very loud, especially in these times of difficulty. We've got to know that as Richard Ledger once put it, you know, God likes us, that God wants us to know his blessing. And if we're in any doubt, we see the message proclaimed to shepherds, you know, grubby working class individuals on the hillside who had no place in the temple. God proclaims it to the Magi, people who did not do religion properly. God proclaims it to all of these people so that there can be no doubt in anybody's mind that God loves each one of us, not just the favoured few, but for everybody. So this Christmas, we've got to try and hear these words afresh, and we've got to try and take them to heart. Somebody sent me a Christmas card this year, and it said on the front of it, "Have a magical Christmas." And I don't often sort of sit there and look at the Christmas card and kind of ponder, but I thought, why are they saying have a magical Christmas? You know, that's an odd sort of word to use. Who is the guy? I'm Harry Potter. You know, this is a magical Christmas. Is this the right word to use about Christmas? And in a sense, it is, isn't it? Because at Christmas, you know, we have these stories of dreams and angels and all of this stuff, which is out of reality. And what we have to do at Christmas is to kind of suspend our normal realities, to see the stories in their deeper meaning. And the message of these deeper meaning stories is that God has done a wonderful and amazing thing at Christmas. The point that the writer in Luke's gospel here is trying to get across to us, that God has done something wonderful and he's done it for us. And God is going to be with us so that nothing is going to be impossible. In those moments of despair, when we wonder how on earth we're going to cope, don't be afraid. God is with you. His power will be with you. There's a beautiful line in the hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And it says, "Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing." Now, you know, you can hush as much as you like. You probably won't hear literal angels singing. That's not the point. The point it means is just stop for a moment and listen to God's message to you. In the midst of all the hubble bubble and toil and trouble of life, try and listen afresh to that clear message. Don't go home and wait for winged creatures to come to you. God's already done all that. Listen as you take the bread and the wine this morning to that message of God's deep love for each one of us. Most of us come to communion, we're a bit out of breath because we've been rushing around and we're doing everything that goes at Christmas and worrying about all kinds of things. Just stop for a few moments, hush the noise, and hear the message of those angels. Let the Holy Spirit come upon each one of us into those parts of our lives where we're faltering, where we're afraid, or where we feel empty. Do not worry, God walks with us as he walked with Mary. No matter what we face, God will be there with his Holy Spirit. Nothing is impossible for God, because we're guided by the same God who guided Mary. And as she knew that nothing was impossible in her life, so we can know that same truth today. Amen.